from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
The Telestrator's out.
Pal and I have had a great time today with the political stuff that's going on.
Yeah, a lot of world news happening.
Yeah, but it's also like the design of the page, like not the page, but like what's on our TV.
Just really, really well done directing.
It's brilliant
and
how
design from this news station that is on the television right now.
How they've
got like, the Telestrator out. It's killing me.
They've been able to break it up into all of these different like live view of this, live view of that, streaming.
It's got a
view,
big like tweet deck feel to it.
It does. It has like we're watching security cameras in a prison feel. That's what it has.
It's
wild. It's a little wild. But now again,
and now the Telestrator's out.
Incredible. Yeah.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Hour number 2. We're hanging out with you until noon. D'Lo and KC. We'll step in at noon. One of them will step in here at about 11:45 for the handoff. We've been talking about the Kings and their chances to rebuild this year and their opportunities to rebuild that go beyond just with the new CBA. It goes beyond just the, hey, 125% of this player's salary, so who can they get for Kevin Huerter? The math is mathing a little different now.
Yes.
It gives the Kings better opportunities to maybe get players that they would not have been able to get in the past. That's the crux of that.
Totally agree.
Now, there's something hanging over all of this where we talk about the future of the Kings.
Yes.
And the thing hanging over all of that is that Mike Brown is in the final year of his contract.
Yes.
And I know they did this with Monty where it was like, hey, are they going to, like, what are they doing here? And then they paid him. They extended him. And maybe that's what they're doing with Mike Brown. But, buddy, you don't want your head coach going into a year. You know how they signed Domas last year to his extension?
Oh, yeah.
And we went, hey, good work, because now you avoid this during the year. You avoid if he has a tough week of basketball going like, oh, hey, do you want to say, oh, man, Domas is this, oh, blah. You just avoid that altogether.
Mm.
Get out of the way. If they go into this season with Mike Brown not under contract for the 25-26 season at minimum.
Okay, so
I got questions for the front office.
Yeah, this is a really complicated story though, right? So coaching salaries have gone bonkers. And it's something that happened last offseason. So Mike Brown signs his original contract with the Kings, 4-year deal with a mutual option for year 4. Well, that mutual option isn't happening because there's no reason for Mike Brown or any of those guys to walk into year 4. he needs to not be a lame duck coach moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's in the final year of his contract, and coaching salaries went from the point where he was, which was, you know, league average, maybe around league average, maybe a little less, maybe a little more,
mm-hmm.
to all of a sudden Monty Williams goes out and signs this ridiculous contract with the Detroit Pistons. And then Eric Spoelstra puts his hand out and gets paid. And Greg Popovich puts his hand out and gets paid. And Steve Kerr puts his hand out and gets a 2-year, $35 million deal, $17.5 million a year. And we go from coaches that make $4, $5, $6 million to coaches making way more than that. Way three times that.
And Mike Brown put his hand out and got a high five.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think that's what's happened as of right now. I think that the Kings and Mike Brown have had like cursory talks,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be more talks involved. But
I know there's more to it than what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking about this as a fan who would like to see Mike Brown as the Kings coach for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
What are you waiting for? What's the holdup?
Yeah.
Like that's my, and again, I know there's more to it from Mike's side and from the Kings side, and there's stuff to, I know there are things going on that are above my head. But like I said, as somebody just on from the outside looking in, it seems like a pretty easy solution here.
No, I totally agree, but we also have to live in the world where, you know, life is a negotiation.
No doubt.
And so, like, if you're a team and you're hearing the number 10 to 12 million out there,
mm-hmm.
and you're not paying anywhere near that now, mm-hmm. and then you're looking around the league, I think that there are coaches out there that are getting first-time jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? Guys like Jamal Mosley in Orlando that and players and other coaches around the league that have never had an NBA head coaching job, a guy like Darvin Ham in LA,
mm-hmm.
that are making more than what Mike Brown is making. And that's just not the way the world works. And we all know that. And so I expect them to have a lot of conversations, but like, look, this guy is helping to build the culture that you've been dreaming of.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but you missed the playoffs 16 consecutive years. He's made the playoffs one year and the postseason the next. Not only that, but when you look at the 39 years the Kings have been in Sacramento, they've had 10 seasons over 500, and two of those are Mike Brown's, the last two seasons, his first two seasons on the job. I mean, that's wild. That's a crazy stat. When you look at his career win percentage, his career win percentage is a 607. He's in the
pretty good,
like in the top, like coaches who have coached more than 500 games in their careers. He's in the top 10 in win percentage. Like so. Yes, you have a culture builder. You have a guy who has the ear of his team, who has the ear of the stars, who's built an incredible coaching staff, and his coaching staff is now going out and getting head coaching jobs, which is another feather in everyone's cap. Not just yours, not just a head coach. It's a feather in the Kings' cap, mm-hmm. that Jordy Fernandez is now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. So, yeah, there's going to come a point here where, like, logic has to win out. And the instability, the carousel that is the Sacramento Kings, it's got to stop.
That's it, dude.
You found the place to stop.
That's it.
He's 54 years old. He could coach here for another 15 years. Like, this is a moment where, like, you've got to do what's right for your franchise if you want to continue to build. We talk about a build versus a rebuild. This is a build. This is not a rebuild. You want to take a step back and rebuild this thing? Okay. If that's what you feel, that you need to take a step back and rebuild, then owning an NBA basketball team is not for you. Like, yep. Because that's exactly what you did for 10 years. And you kept ending up in the same exact spot. Like, learn from your own mistakes.
There is so much to be said for stability.
Yes.
So much.
Yeah.
And if your goal is, hey, we need to be a championship contender in 2024-25. It has to be this year.
Yeah.
One, not extending Mike Brown is not going to change that. That's not... that
not in a good
that,
way.
Right. That is not going to help.
Yeah.
Two, then dive into the luxury tax. Pay for everything. Like that. That's a do that then.
They haven't done that yet.
Right.
No. Nope.
So that's what. So again, yeah. it to me, it's I believe again outside looking in here. No, you may know. I don't. It looks like they've bought in on this type of build that they have going on. They're taking their time letting Keegan Murray develop. That's why they didn't move him at the trade deadline. They have committed to that. They have committed to Domas. They have committed to De'Aaron. So they are going to let this thing play itself out over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. If you're committing to that, then commit to the coach too.
Yeah.
Because if you're saying, hey, Mike Brown, yeah, you can do this year. Good job, whatever. If you make the conference finals, you know, we can talk extension. Or you're punting him for...
For what?
Kenny Atkinson? Like, pass, dude.
Yeah.
That's not getting you where you need to go. They have picked a direction. Great. Fantastic.
Stay
on it.
Course.
Stay on it.
Stay the course.
As much as I sit here and talk about you need to make this move and you need to trade this guy or that guy, that's on the margins.
Yeah.
There's a path forward here, and we always talk about their big three, right? The Kings version of the big three. Mm-hmm. It's De'Aaron, Domas, Keegan. Well, throw Mike Brown in there. Throw Monty McNair in there and push forward with this group.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, life is a negotiation. There's stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't know. There are financial things at play that go over my head. Fine. But they cannot get to August, September with Mike Brown still in the last year of his contract.
If you want to be a winning franchise,
yes,
you need to win from every single level.
That's it.
It just can't be won.
That's it.
And if you don't win at this at the coaching level, come on now. Like, wild.
That's it, bro. That's it. Unless they're genuinely unhappy with Mike Brown, which would be nuts.
Cooler heads will prevail.
But if that's the case, then going into the year with him would be insane. I think they're happy with Mike Brown. Yep. They should push forward with it. Anyways, we'll dive back into the NBA playoffs. Leezy in the YouTube chat, friend of the program, friend of the station, Leezy, wants to know who I am in on because I make a big deal when I'm out on a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through some players who might be available. I've got a list of free agents up here.
You have a list.
I have a list. I've written down some players.
Mm.
And we'll go through. These are players I think I'm in on.
I think this could go sideways, Kyle.
No, it should. No.
Next
no,
on the Insiders, Kyle, okay. Go sideways.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. I've put together a list of players
mm-hmm.
that I like, potentially like. There's varying levels of like for the Kings here for me. Where some of these I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely in. Some of these I'm like, I'm kind of in. I could be talked out of it, though. And the impetus behind this is Leezy from the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Highly recommend if you are driving and you only listen to this show in the car, when you get wherever you're going, throw us up on YouTube and hang out in the chatty house. It's a great place. Full of some fine people. Some fine people, and Manny is also in there. Leezy wanted to know if there were any players I was in on, because I was like, I think I'm out on Jared Vanderbilt. Who else is I out on?
Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram. I'm out.
Okay.
You talked me into Vando.
I mean, I'm not sure that he's like the end all be all.
No, but you've talked me into how he could be used offensively, where teams would have to actually consider guarding him because the Lakers would like stick him in the corner, and that's just he gets played off the floor.
Yeah,
like that.
Nobody sticks Vandy in the corner.
No, that's a terrible idea. So I'm in on Vandy. Malik Beasley, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like Malik Beasley very much as a scorer. Guy like Paul George, Kevin Durant, yeah. If they're out there and available, sure. Again, this is not who I think the Kings will go after. It's just Leezy wanted names of players that I would like on the Kings.
Okay.
And so I'm giving them to you.
Hey, look, I'm all...
If you have pushback, fire away, by the way.
I honestly think that there, at any moment, Kevin Durant could say, I want out of here. And, like, here we go again. Because, like, that's what we do every 2 years.
Would it shock you at all?
No.
I wouldn't be...
Every 2 years we do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Bones Highland. Oh. Bring me Bones Highland.
Okay.
I love Bones Highland. As, like, a Malik Monk type of player.
Yeah.
Like off if the you bench,
lose,
microwave.
If you lose Malik, yeah.
Sure. Bobby Portis, who we've talked about, I'm in. I love that idea.
Yep.
The other player you mentioned that I'm also in on, Sadiq Bey, big mm-hmm. Sadiq Bey guy. Isaac Okoro, restricted free agent with the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
I like Isaac Okoro very much.
He's one of my favorite, like, coming into the draft, I thought he would be way better. I actually look at Isaac Okoro and see, like, young Andre Iguodala.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's got all kinds of potential. And
I do, too.
And I don't think he's really been able to, like, shine with yeah. that Cleveland team.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly because that Cleveland team was so young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they just don't, he just hasn't quite gotten, and maybe they really like him long term and they're going to sign him to big money. But man, he's been there. Has he been there 4 years?
Yeah.
He's playing 28 minutes a night. He's 8.5 points a game. 3 boards, couple assists, but like really dogged defender. Really, I think he's a really, really good player.
I don't know that he gets more than the mid-level if he's on the open market.
Yeah, he just from a production standpoint, it just hasn't quite been there. But I think he could be. He's listed at 6'5", but I think he could defend multiple spots.
Oh yeah, he's more of a small forward than he is a shooting guard.
So I like that idea for sure. There's a couple of names I'm going to say here.
Uh-oh.
That I put on my list, but I have now taken off my list for the same reason. I wrote down Tobias Harris and Klay Thompson. But the problem is I'm only taking them on really cheap deals. Mm-hmm. And if Klay Thompson is going to be really cheap, he's going to re-sign with Golden State.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I don't know if that's the same with Tobias. But, the Kings have, like every iteration of the Kings have had interest in Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
I just don't know that at his age and what he brings at this point.
This is the thing is, I like Tobias Harris on a like Harrison Barnes level deal.
Yeah.
I would take him in the $15 to $18 million range, but I think he's just going to get more than that because there's still teams that are like, hey, Tobias Harris.
Well, that and
dude's
I don't
gotten even, bags his entire career. I don't know why he would stop now.
It's just tough for the Kings to even get to that point though, because they don't have cap space to go out in the open market outside of the mid-level.
Right.
Which is like $12.8 million.
Right.
So like you're not doing a sign and trade with him. That's not going to happen.
Right.
That just sign and trades just don't happen in the league anymore.
So I took them off as realistic options.
Okay.
Bruce Brown, he has a $22.5 million club option in Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be picking that up, but he's an interesting name.
I'm going to guess that they're not.
I don't know. I have no idea what they went and got him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a tryout or...
I think he goes back to a mid-level guy, in my opinion.
Sure.
Like, I think he could easily get a mid-level exception at like, you know, a 4-year, $54 million deal, whatever that works out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I like Bruce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones, unrestricted free agent.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make it my mission to get Tyus Jones into a Kings jersey at some point.
Yeah.
Love Tyus.
He definitely would be, again, a mid-level exception range player.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to make sure you're maximizing dollar there. The question, again, would be, do you have Malik? Do you not have Malik? And what does that mean?
Oh, okay. A lot of this is largely based on, okay, if Malik Monk leaves.
Okay.
Because that's the calculus I'm working under here. Because things change dramatically if he comes back.
Okay.
I think I like Gary Harris. I think I'm in on Gary Harris.
I used to like Gary Harris, but Gary Harris has a propensity to get injured like every single season. And I've always liked him as a just a raw scorer.
He has played 70 games once.
Yeah.
And it was in his second year in the league.
Yeah. And he hasn't played a lot since then.
Yeah.
I would go younger if I'm going to look for a Malik Monk replacement. And Gary Harris is more of a scorer than he is a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No doubt. Less than 2 assists a game the last 3 years for Gary Harris. Caleb Martin has a like $6.8 million player option.
Okay.
I'm guessing he declines that. because I think there will be more money for him.
Yeah.
And I like Caleb Martin a lot. He might be too expensive for the Kings.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the Martin twins. Mm-hmm. I think that they're game changers, like big time. And Caleb, of course, is the better of the two. Mm-hmm. If he somehow squirms out of Miami and, like, again, mid-level exception player, we're talking about, a four-year $54 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he fits that mold of the long athletic defender. He can shoot the three ball, career 35.7% shooter from three.
And he's just a dog. Like, he's a guy I would trust in a big game.
Yeah.
So I'm a big Caleb Martin guy. Let's see. Taurean Prince didn't work out as well for the Lakers, but I think it's because they tried to lean on him too heavily.
I guess. I mean, I'm okay.
Is he
okay
kind of
with Taurean Prince? But I also think that, like, Keon Ellis is like the free version of. Right. So,
sure.
Keon Ellis just doesn't make any money.
That's fair enough.
And I'm not sure that Taurean Prince gives you, like, a huge improvement. I mean, he can't play the small forward. He's 6'6". He's bigger. But we're looking at a 30-year-old guy who, you know, kind of, like, average. And I'm not paying, like, I'm not even giving him mid-level. I mean, that's a player who, like, half the mid-level,
mm-hmm.
Maybe. And he's a guy who made $4.5 million. So he got the biannual exception last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe biannual exception money, like 2 year nine. That wouldn't be horrible.
Mm-hmm. Probably can play a little defense, knock down some threes.
Yeah, but I think the Kings need to get bigger at the position.
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair. Derek Jones, an unrestricted free agent?
The first act the Kings did when Monty McNair took over the team was they had Derek Jones on a Zoom call. They got the first Zoom call. It was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they tried to get him in, and he took the money in Portland instead. Was it Portland? I think it was Portland.
Great.
Oh, no.
Another Chicago. Opportunity presenting itself.
Chicago. It was Chicago. So, they've gone after him. He's mm-hmm. the mold of type of player that they've wanted. But he's just never very good. Like,
that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You're out on Derek Jones.
Yeah. The idea of Derek Jones is perfect. The reality of Derek Jones, you know, like, again,
the idea of you, but not the reality of you, cuts me deep.
Caleb Martin is the better version of. I would much rather go get. I mean, he's not as athletic,
mm-hmm.
but I would much rather have that guy. Yeah,
sure.
He's more physical. He stays on the court. He does everything, like a jack of all trades, master of none.
And then last one here, Precious Achiuwa is going to be a restricted free agent.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. I don't usually talk myself into pressure. I would just,
okay.
Like, again, I think if you have Trey Lyles and if you just bring Alex Len back on a veteran minimum deal for a year or two, I'm all totally right. fine with that.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. So there you go. There's some players I'm in on.
Okay.
There's a lot of them.
There is a lot of them.
But just because I don't like Brandon Ingram, suddenly I'm out on every player in the league, I guess.
That's anyways. Funny.
All right, we'll keep talking Kings. We'll keep talking NBA playoffs. Next, we'll also have the handoff with D'Lo or Casey. One of them will be in about 15 minutes. And do two more playoff series end tonight? We'll talk about it on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
For those of you on the stream who can't hear the music, we have a Kendrick Lamar instrumental right now, which is very appropriate. That's James. I'm Kyle. Trying to rebuild the Kings, starting to take a look at what lies ahead for them, some of the advantages that they're afforded via the new CBA. How different their team building might look this offseason, how they can be aggressive without, because before I understood the new CBA stuff, it was like, man, an all-in type of move means
like gutting half your roster.
Yeah, you've got to put Keegan on the block. You've got to just push all in for, but now that changes quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, maybe you can accelerate that timeline a little bit, just based on the way the new CBA shakes out for, frankly, smaller market teams. They were trying to keep teams like Golden State that just have money out the wazoo, who can, $185 million in luxury tax, sure. Yeah, $500 million roster, sure. Here's the money. We got it. There's other teams that just can't do that. It's trying to level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, and I think to put it in perspective, the Warriors paid a little less than the $186 that was the original. Mm-hmm. But because they were able to save some money down the stretch, but even still, they were looking at, with that money, another $200 million in their own salary, not just a luxury tax. We're looking at like $385 million. Let's just say that's the number. And then let's look at the Kings roster, which was $145 million. They paid $240 million more than the Kings did for their basketball team.
To lose to the Kings.
To lose to them. $240 million. That's a lot of money. More.
That's not their whole roster. That is just
the combination of salary and salary cap. $240 million more. That is so crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me, there are a lot of ways that the Kings can improve this summer. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people like wanted the Kings to make these like these super small moves during at the trade deadline. You know, a lot of like Alec Burks or like name that player that people are like, oh, let's go get that guy. Mm-hmm. Like none of that really moved the needle.
Yeah,
what you needed to do was something substantial, and I get why. Like sometimes that substantial deal doesn't come up, and sometimes that substantial deal almost gets done at the deadline.
Yeah,
and then you get to the off season. And it's just still sitting there, and you make that move that you may or may not have already been all in on.
Yeah.
And that's why I always I caution people. There's something out there that we don't see. Mm-hmm. There are teams that, look at how the Pelicans are viewed differently today than they were 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how Brandon Ingram's viewed today versus 2 weeks ago. And so for me, like, that's why you sometimes you have to be patient and you have to wait for the right deal. And then you have to jump in when you have the right assets to go make a move. Mm-hmm. And I think the Kings are in a good position to go and make something relatively substantial that could mm-hmm. that could help evolve this roster in a positive way.
I do think something the NBA needs to do, and Drew Down, while being sensitive about the Warriors stuff, brought this up, and I actually think he makes a good point. I do think it sucks that teams get penalized for drafting well with this.
Okay, I get what you're saying, but like it's not the first contract, it's not the second contract, mm-hmm. it's a third contract.
Okay.
And so I get it. And
you drafted that guy.
That's true. If you want to pay the luxury tax, then that should be fine. But I don't know. I think it puts onus on everybody.
It penalizes teams for drafting well. It does.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be a worry for Oklahoma City, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about, like, hey, yeah, put it in pen that Oklahoma City is going to be a contender for 10 years. Well, it's like, no, because they're going to have to pay Jalen Williams. They're going to have to pay Chet Holmgren. And they're going to have to pay Lou Dort's on a second contract, I think.
He is. He also signed a reasonable deal with sure. them. It was a little high when it first came out, but then he's lived up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some. And not only that, but you always have to look at their roster as while they have all these young guys are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to spend money. So the fact Lou Dort's 16.5, 17.7, and then he has
that
they
is
have
a steal.
Yeah, they have a team option at 17.7. Yeah, I mean financially, they're perfectly fine, and they always have been. I mean they walk into this offseason, their dedicated salary with that roster is $97 million. $97 million, and the guys that are falling off the roster, like Gordon Hayward. They yep. traded for Rudy Gay and then waived him. Pokuševski, which they dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Usman Garabu, zero. Ty Washington, zero. Like, they're not losing.
Usman Garabu, Warriors legend.
Anything, yeah. They're not losing anything. Yeah. So they're walking into this offseason with 40 plus million in salary cap.
Jeez.
Space. 40.
Man.
So, but they have to be smart with it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there is going to come a point where you're going to have to pay some of these other guys like massive money.
Right. And that sucks that they're probably not going to be able to because of the constraints of the CBA.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
It's not good.
I just don't think you should be penalized for drafting well.
No. I'm with you.
Tonight, NBA playoffs. Do we see two series end tonight? Let's start with Philly and the Knicks. So Orlando-Cleveland is 2-2. Call me if that gets to game 7. I've tried every single game of that series. I've really tried. Because that's the one when talking to Jesse one day. And was like, hey, NBA playoffs. He's like, I'm not watching a second of Cavs Magic. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. And I can't. It's really tough basketball to watch. So call me if that one gets to a game 7. Let's start in Philly. Start with the Knicks. Start in New York, Philly visiting the Knicks. Do the Knicks end the series tonight?
I think they do, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, does Embiid?
There's like, a reason I asked you and didn't answer the question.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I think Philly wins one more. Like, I think that they extend. Is Mitchell Robinson playing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks win because I think Philly's just down bad. The whining after game 2 of like, we're the better team, we're going to win this series, but oh man, this is, and then the whining after game 4, like, oh, I've never, all the Knicks fans, I just, oh boy, I just can't, out of the vibes are terrible, man.
Mm.
Joel Embiid's going to do everything he can, Tyrese Maxey's going to do everything he can, I just don't think it's going to matter that much. I think the Knicks are just dialed. And if Tobias Harris isn't clamping Jaylen Brown and forcing him to be, or Jalen Brunson, excuse me, and forcing him to be super inefficient, I don't know what the Sixers have for them.
I'm with you there. I know somebody in the chat said Brunson needs to play better. Like, how could Brunson play better? Well, like, what are we talking about?
Better at home? Sure.
Didn't he score 47 last game?
Yeah. If they mean play better at home than he did the first two games, like, no doubt.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
But it feels like he's kind of figured out what they're doing to him defensively. And if when Jalen Brunson's rolling, the Sixers feel like a team that's just trying to get to the finish line here. And the Knicks, I think, smell blood.
Yeah, the Knicks feel like a team that's ready to play on, to like make a run.
Yes.
And especially make a run in a Eastern Conference is getting like strangely weaker by the day, whether it's Milwaukee, whether it's Philadelphia not being able to figure out injury issues or just not being able to play up to their potential because of the injuries to their star player.
Yeah.
And I also think like Philly's in a whole bunch of trouble here. Like what happens to Philly after this is a mess.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm convinced the Knicks are going to win.
Yeah. Okay. No, also, it's very possible.
Is this, you talked about this before, how Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid are the only players under contract for the Sixers this year?
Yeah. And Maxey is due his rookie scale extension, but he's only like a $6 million cap hold because he was so late in the draft. And so they're going to be able to go out and do all of the work that they want to do and then go back to Maxey and go well above the cap.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, I mean, Maxey's going to get, he's going to get the Fox deal. So like 28, 29 million, maybe 30 million just because it keeps going up every year. Like he's going to be able to get like that. And man, he's impressive.
He's been really good.
Yeah, but then how do you piece the rest of that team together? And I mean, you can't squander money on Tobias Harris like $38 million. I mean, if he wants to come back at 20, that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
He can be their Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
I think that's an almost harder spot to be in where you have, okay, we know we're going to have Joel Embiid and you're going to get whatever you get from him through the year health-wise. You know that Tyrese Maxey is an ascending star. Like, that's a foundation that every team would love to have. But then you're just ground zero on your roster elsewhere? I don't know that I would like to be in that spot. Because they'll re-sign some guys. The team isn't going to look... It's not going to be 13 new guys and those two. But I think that's a really, really tough spot to be in.
It's going to be a lot of new guys, though, because, I mean, look, that team just hasn't been able to get over the hump, and, you know, they switched out coaches, they've tried to bring in different looks, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think you got Kelly Oubre there, who's on just another team. Like, Nick Batum won't be back, I would assume, and even if he is, like, what are you expecting?
Right, how effective is that?
Yeah, from, you know, I don't know, Nick Batum, let's see, 35, going on 36. Yeah. I don't know that team is just well built at all. It was patchwork together just to keep it going for this season. Like, again, Kyle Lowry's 37. Like, is anyone believing that that's going to matter whether he's back or not? I don't think so.
Nope.
Even like Melton, Buddy Hield, I don't think will be back. I mean, maybe they bring Buddy back, but I mean, Buddy's not even playing in the playoffs. He's getting DMP CDs. So, I like what Cameron Payne's brought there, but it's nothing that you need to like write home that you need to go break the bank for. Robert Covington really hasn't played all that well or all that much for them.
Yeah,
that's the guy that always was mentioned with Sacramento.
Loved Rocco.
Yeah, he just hasn't been able to piece it together. He got thrown out of a game one night in Sacramento for throwing his glasses and he hit an official. Yeah, that was wild.
Sure.
I was the pool reporter, and it was like, oh, am I going to have to go ask the pool questions? And then it was like the people near were like, oh, no, it's totally obvious. He hit the official in the leg with his glasses. Like, it's an automatic ejection.
It's easy work.
Yeah.
All right. What about Indiana at Milwaukee? Indiana leads the series 3-1.
Game over.
I think it's done.
Yeah.
And I think Milwaukee knows it's done.
Yeah, well, it's not so much anything about Indiana. It's just the Milwaukee just...
They are...
fell apart, just fell apart and got injured. And like, talk about another team on the brink. Like, what the hell does they, hell do they do during the offseason?
I'm a winner.
Yo. I am so fascinated by what the Bucks look like this offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got Dame, you got Giannis.
And then what?
And is that a duo that you want to move forward with based on how this year went? You're probably going to hire a new coach?
Crazy.
Hey, that would be the nuttiest thing if they're like, no, we're giving Doc another year.
What did Doc just sign like as an interim? I don't even, what did he take?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But if you're keeping him around for another year?
I feel bad for my guy, Dave Yeager. He popped up there like mid-season with Doc as his lead assistant. And then they had to, remember, they were supposed to
Dave
coach
Yeager
the All-Star game.
Doc Rivers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They were supposed to coach the All-Star game because they led the league, they led the Eastern Conference at that point. And Doc had the assistants go, the remaining assistants go and kept him and Dave, and there was one other that they had there, let them go to All-Star Weekend and coach.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yikes, dude.
Wow. Doc got $20 million to go for 1 year?
Oh, my God, no way.
I don't know. That's just what someone said in the chat.
No way.
Wow.
No chance.
I don't know. Maybe Dame has the answer to that.
I hope he does.
What did Doc Rivers get? Man, if we had Kenny here, he could do Doc Rivers. I got $20 million. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do Doc Rivers voice.
No, me neither. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that series is over. I think the Knicks win their series as well. And I think we're going to win the handoff. Damian Barling in the building. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. They'll hang out with you until 4 o'clock. Hey, man.
Hey, we talking euphoria?
James, all 2 hours. We're going bar for bar.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
We just broke it down.
Rumors of the cease and desist. James?
Oh, I don't know.
Thoughts?
Okay. James, your thoughts?
Seems like a strange thing that's happening.
Hey, what was
it's strange, all right, and it's creating strange dialogue.
When it started, hang on, just 1 second, I promise.
Yeah.
When it first starts and it's that like jazzy kind of,
yeah,
like he's gonna do a weird ass Kendrick song, like, and then that just boom, and he just 5 minutes of saying,
yeah,
he
used that line before. Don't tell a lie about me. I won't tell the truth about you. That's from an old song, and I think he used it on either To Pimp a Butterfly or Good Kid, Dad City, Good Kid, Mad City, and he loves those old old jazz breakdowns,
man.
But the dialogue is super weird, man. It's the LeBron Jordan conversation. It's probably going to lead to the end of D'Lo and KC, if we're being honest.
Oh, no.
It's ultimately because we teased something on our, not to break kayfabe here, but you guys know we record the first hour of D'Lo and KC on KSFM.
Get out.
And so we teased something for right when we go live. And I could already tell this is going to lead to a fight. Like, we're going to get into an argument on the air.
I can't wait.
Spectacular.
I'm dialed.
We're going to hold off. We'll talk about it later, and we're probably going to get into an argument like 7 minutes in.
Hand me the looky real quick. Pause.
No?
I think. I don't know. Hand me this. Let's see. With all due respect to Sixers at Knicks, which starts at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320,
yeah,
I'm going to be tapped into KSFM.
There you go. Yeah. Sixers-Knicks. That's an interesting... That's a.
The Sixers are done, dude.
Well, the I think what's interesting in the East is like the Sixers and the Bucks.
Yeah, they were supposed to be the teams that
it's coming to
the Celtics. See one of those teams.
Like, is it coming to an end?
Yes.
Or that's what it feels like.
Both.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. Like, it is coming to an end, and it's like, well, what do you do now? Like, and if you're Milwaukee, you're not like you've got to figure out how to fix this.
Yeah, you can't.
You've got Giannis and Dame, and you have to figure out how to fix this. I just don't know how you can.
They're in and maybe there's a fix. Maybe Giannis and Dame with an off season together, maybe they figure it out and everything's fine. But to me, the Bucks, the Pelicans with Zion. I think the Warriors are a little bit in this spot, and maybe even the Sixers with Joel Embiid, depending on how you feel about his ability to play 100-plus games, but 90-plus games, however many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't get rid of Joel Embiid if you're the Sixers.
No.
You can't get rid of Steph Curry if you're the Warriors. You can't get rid of Giannis or Dame, right, unless they force their way out. But just as a team, you can't go, hey, from a team-building perspective, it would be best to do X, Y, and Z. Right. You just can't.
Right.
So that's a really, really difficult spot to be in.
Yeah. You didn't even mention Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, it's a great one.
Because that seems
the Suns' whole aura.
Well, but it's not Kevin Durant to me. It's like you've got to... The mistake was, and this was...
Brad.
This was... Yeah. Like, and I'm a Brad Beal fan, but there was no need for that. It was no different to me than a really, really good Brooklyn Nets team for no reason whatsoever going to get James Harden. And I'm not taking my usual shots at James Harden. You just, you broke apart a nucleus that was really, really good to chase that third star when you didn't need to do that. That's what Matt Ishbia did with Brad Beal. You probably needed more for Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, but that's not what you needed. You didn't need Bradley Beal.
No.
And it's just like mistakes compounding mistakes with these owners or general managers who feel like this is the way to go, and then you're stuck in this position where how do you get out of it?
They're stuck in the era of the super team.
Well,
everybody's like, hey, we need to get... It was Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. How do we do that? Like, dog, that's not it anymore. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Thunder. Look at even, I know Golden State got Kevin Durant, but even before that, look how they were built.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, look at the Bucks.
The Bucks.
It's the way the Same Bucks deal. Were built.
Yes.
And I think what the Dame Lillard acquisition did was show you probably didn't believe in Chris Middleton anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gave up arguably the guy who was most important to what you were doing. I mean, outside of Giannis.
Yeah.
The guy who was so important, most important to what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you did it to go chase Dame. Whereas, and I get it, it doesn't work this way, but if you could have gotten Dame with Drew and Giannis, I think it would have been completely different.
No doubt.
But you had to move Drew so you're, lack of a better word, he had an incredible heroics on Friday, but it made you stuck with Chris Middleton, and now you have a team that becomes repetitive. It's just like the Phoenix Suns. Your team then becomes repetitive, and there's no easy way out of it. And I don't know how those two teams. I don't know if you were asking how much Doc Rivers makes when I walked in. I think it's roughly 10 a year.
Yeah, I think someone said it's a 440. That's what somebody.
It is a 440.
Oh, okay. Man.
Yeah, I knew it was.
They're rolling
it was up
forward
there.
With Glenn too.
Well,
I'm not going to stall out Doc, but
I will. I got you.
That team is problematic. Like, it's not.
Yeah, they're not well built.
And that's where, the gist of the conversation started. Like, it feels like it's over, and it might have been over.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're relying. I mean, God bless Joel Embiid. It feels like he's hanging on by a string. Now he's dealing with this Bell's palsy thing. God, I mean, he knows what type of discomfort he's in.
Yeah.
And he's still trying to gut out these big performances. And it's just like, bruh, the team's not good enough. And you're going against the team that is, they're a little crackhead.
They are.
They just have
nuts,
crazy,
dude.
Like, they just have crazy in it. Like, they are 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it's like, they might miss shots, and that's going to be your hope.
But they're getting
they're going to get so many shots up. Oh, my God. That 6-7 play possession from Friday night.
Insane.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Insane.
And we're quite familiar with those plays, but I got PTSD watching that. God, that was so... I wasn't even rooting for anybody. I'm like, grab the ball.
Somebody get a rebound.
Somebody not in a Pacers uniform. Jesus.
Josh Hart is 6'4". Get a body on him. We have to go, or you're going to start your show late. James, thank you. Fun show today. D'Lo and Casey coming up next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. We'll see you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.